Hey y'all, back. We just got done with regular coaching, so now we're going to do all of our maintenance people. So y'all come on in. These are all the coaches who need help with maintaining your weight, just making sure that all of that is intact. So if you want to get coached, just raise your hand so I know how many people are going to want to get coached today. And while we wait for someone to raise their hand, because as of right now, nobody in this group needs any help from Corinne. Y'all just sitting here, as my grandfather used to say, sitting on your fist and leaning back on your thumb. But I don't know how to help y'all if y'all don't tell me how to get some help. So let me say this about maintenance. One of the things that is important with maintenance is that you make sure that every single day you are reminding yourself of what you did today that completely exemplifies why you're never going to regain your weight. I think if there was one thing I had to teach all maintenance people, it would be this. When you lose your weight, you are not entitled to, nor are you going to suddenly trust that you're going to be able to keep it off. So, I was talking about this on our last call, and so I'll kind of just tell the story again. When I first started losing weight, I did not believe I could lose weight, not at all. I'd never done it before. And that is how it goes in weight loss. We never have ever lost our weight successfully until we've done it for the last time. Okay. So, when people first start losing weight, they don't like sign up and say like, oh my God, this is the time. I'm never going to have any problems. I'll be able to keep my weight off for the rest of my life. Blah, 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 blah. Our brain's wired to not believe things it hasn't been able to do before. I mean, why do you want your brain to just sit around all the time and just offer you tons of positive thoughts? This means that if you were in a dark alley and you heard a gunshot, you'd be like, I guess it wasn't coming for me. I'm just going to keep walking. We do not want positive thoughts all the time. But in order to have a brain that keeps us safe, we have to get really good at noticing when our brain doesn't feel safe for reasons it doesn't need to feel unsafe. So, like for me, I didn't believe I could lose weight. What I did believe was I could get started today on something. I didn't need to believe I could lose weight. And I did not believe that I was going to lose all my weight. I didn't even think that I would be able to keep it off once I lost all of it. So when you hit maintenance, the biggest identity change that you need to accept is when I hit maintenance, it's going to feel really good. I'm probably going to be proud of myself. There's going to be like a period where you do, but your brain likes certainty. And if you've never kept your weight off before, your brain has nothing to feel certain about. It doesn't know how to look into the future and just on its own, give itself assuredness. It only knows how to go to what it knows has happened before. So it knows that in the past, maybe you've regained your weight. So it's going to think, oh my gosh, you might regain your weight. It's going to have its doubts and fears come up, and that is normal. It doesn't mean you will just because you did it in the past, just like if you grew up shitting your pants from the age of 0 to 3, it doesn't mean that at some point in your 20s, you're going to suddenly revert back to that, even though you had 3 years of experience crapping yourself all the time. But our brains are just wired to doubt. They're always wired to doubt because they think it's how we stay safe. So when you lose weight, if you don't do anything, one of the most important things that you can do for yourself is this. Every day, you have to on purpose give yourself evidence that you've lost the weight, and here are some reasons why you don't have any worries. Because our brain is naturally going to worry. It's naturally going to trip over into that stuff. That is just automatic. We can't stop those doubts. We can't stop those fears. We can just get really good at calming them down. We can get really good at understanding it's normal. We can get really good at telling ourselves new narratives. That is all in our control. But our brain's desire to keep us safe from the unknown, from uncertainty, we can't control that part. And we don't want to remove it because To remove that, we also remove all the times that our brain is keeping us safe for legit reasons. Okay, so if you want homework because you are sitting around always worried that you might regain your weight, then every day talk to yourself in a journal about why you don't need to worry. Or here's what I did today that proves I've changed as a person. Give it evidence. And if you find that you're slipping on some things, that is just going back to what we do when we're losing weight. Like, I wonder why I'm letting this habit go. There's probably an emotional thing. And maintenance people, the way you keep your weight off is not by eating perfectly. It's by never forgetting that it is human to emotionally eat. We regain weight when we quit looking for it, when we quit looking out for our own needs. So don't forget that. All right, Michelle, you're up first. And just make sure you turn your camera on when you come on so I can see you. There you go. Hey, what are we
Hey
coaching on?
there. I want coaching on coping mechanisms. I was listening to the last call, and something that you said really resonated with me that is still an area for growth on me. So I've been in maintenance for about 14 months and still journal, still track, and still write my food and all the things. But I have a challenge in one. Taking breaks during the workday. And so I grab ass eat a lot. And when I mean a lot, I mean 4 or 5 times throughout an 8-hour period.
Okay.
And I also, so that's the biggest thing. And I understand.
So the big thing is you don't have a problem with taking breaks during the workday. You're taking
I am
seven or eight of them a day.
an inappropriate break. Good call, Corinne.
Yeah. It's just really good to know though, right? That in your
Yeah.
mind, I'm not good at taking breaks. It's like, no, I take 7 to 8 of them. I just don't want to take those types of breaks
I
anymore.
don't.
Okay,
I do
what kind of
not.
break do you want to take?
Well, I would like to take an
Or,
actual lunch.
okay, let
Where
me
I'm
say
not.
this though, before
Okay.
you answer things.
Okay.
There's a difference between the kind of break we want to take and the kind of break we can take. So sometimes when I ask that question, somebody will tell me some fantasy island that they're living on. And they're like, a teacher will say, well, I'd like to be able to drink all the water I want all day long and go to the bathroom when I want to, when it breaks the school rules. It's like, you don't want to break school rules. So that's not what you really want. Like we have to like think about in context what we can do. So when you
So
tell
my
me things,
reality
you don't have to tell
is
me your
that
reality. Just tell me the reality of what you
I
like.
really can take breaks. I
Okay, so
really
you
could
can.
take, I can take a lunch break.
Okay, it's good to know. So you would like to take an official lunch. Okay, anything else?
I would like to take an afternoon 15 to 20 minute break. And that's the one that I'm not sure about just yet.
If
When
you
I mean that
can do that.
specifically, well, it's tough with my schedule. That one would be tough because there's usually back-to-back meetings all afternoon. So that one would be rather tough.
Like today, for me, I did not get to eat breakfast this morning. So Logan was really sick again. Like this child, if he doesn't quit having diarrhea and vomiting, I swear he has had more diarrhea and more vomit as a 23-year-old man than he ever did when he was a child. We were so spoiled with him as a child. He just never got sick, never had those things. And now I'm like, oh my God, a big ass man can put out a lot of vomit. And I'm a mother, so I have to clean it up. The last thing I'm going to do is make
Oh.
my 23-year-old to clean it up. So, but we've kind of had like busy weekend. And this morning, I had to get caught up on some stuff that, I was going to be doing, couldn't do. And then next thing I looked up and I was like, oh shit, I gotta take a shower. I gotta like throw on my makeup because I have a call. So like I've had a protein shake. Then the last call before this one, I had something I had to get to somebody. Now I've had a fucking Clif Bar. And I'm just like, this is one of those days where I have to remind myself, you're gonna be real hungry after this call. Like I have to, like, these are the days where I am just like managing my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's like you with those days. So one of the things that we want to start challenging is you may not be able to take the 15 to 20 minute break in the afternoon every day, but the
Okay.
day you can, are you doing it?
Yeah.
So
So
let's look at what we're going to
I
say.
know where I know where I know why I'm not giving myself a break.
Why?
Because I am telling myself a lie that I need to work through my lunches and breaks because I'm not good enough at my work.
Okay.
And that's factually not the case.
Okay.
It's factually not the case. And I think giving myself a new, giving myself evidence to, I guess where I would really like help is how to. We were talking about dysregulation in the last call. Like, how when you start feeling that anxiety that I'm not doing good enough work, or my new boss is going to fire me, or things are so stressful at work, and I guess I better work through. It's not even like I guess I better work through. I just work through until my body cannot take a moment more, Corinne, and I bust out to the kitchen.
Yeah. Okay. I think we have to first start with we just need to make sure that the things that your brain is saying aren't actually true.
Okay.
Because your brain is offering it, and our brain doesn't just tell us things that we don't believe. I mean, I want you to really think about our brain. It's rarely saying, like, I'm just going to give you a flood of ideas that, like, you don't believe at all. Otherwise, we wouldn't always be thinking about them. We wouldn't be acting on them. We must believe I'm going to get fired. I'm not good enough at my job. Like, what is it? So,
Yeah.
I want you to think about this stuff. Is there any truth in there? Or is it literally, I've just told myself this for so long, I believe it, but I know it's actually not true?
So the truth is that we have had some change in leadership, and there are moving parts in our organization that does build uncertainty and doubt beyond just myself. But I'm really good at fear of failure and real good at being fearful of, like, I'm going to be homeless, and I just start spinning off really easily. I mean, little things like an email, like just an email, all of a sudden, like I feel my body just become prickly and reactive, just like that. And it's like, how do I go from just like having it just nothing going on all the way to prickly and like I need to have a, box breathing moment. It just feels.
I don't think it's confusing at all. I want you to think about this. If your core belief is I'm not good enough, and now you've actually got structural changes in your operation and there's uncertainty, then yeah, that stuff is just triggering the core belief. You're going to lose your job because you're not good enough. You better keep working. You're going to have to work harder than everybody else. You can't afford to take a break. That's not a mystery at all. It's just like when if I fear that I'm going to lose my business, I can be like, work, 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 and then get one negative. Like somebody who's listened to my free podcast will write in and say, you cuss too much and it's costing you customers. All of a sudden, I go from I'm amazing and I make the best content in the world to, oh my God, I need to change everything. People don't like me. And it's not because, like, that's not a mystery. That's why we have to work on what's going on underneath. So, one thing you did say that would be a much more calming way to talk about things is rather than, I'm not good enough at my job, I'm going to get fired and stuff, is to, one thing is to say, I'm easily triggered right now because we have structural changes going on. And my brain has already decided what those mean. You think the structural changes mean I must not be good enough. Like you list those out.
Okay.
And sometimes before we can go to better thoughts, we have to just say, we're just having structural changes. I'm just going to live in what the fact is right now and not live in my interpretation of it. Because at the end of the day, if you had to like give your best guess, we're just talking about our best guess. Don't try to make it perfect or anything. Given that y'all are having structural changes, your best guess about where you're going to land in all this is what?
I honestly really don't know. This is the first time that I could probably say, like, I'd really like to say that everything I'll be in the same position I've been in for years. I'll be fine, but I factually do not know that today, Corinne.
Okay. So what do you know then with some certainty?
So what I have been working with myself on is what I can control.
Okay. What is that?
So again, every morning journaling, planning my food.
No, that's not what we're
Yes,
talking about.
but
You're
that's
trying
what
to
I'm
control.
doing.
Right, you're doing like I'm asking you, what do you have control over when it comes to not knowing if you're going to have a job or not? And you
Okay.
went immediately to, here's how I diet.
Okay.
like right now, I think you think the biggest problem in the room is eating and keeping your weight down. And I think the biggest problem in the room is not that. It is giving yourself a soft landing place during a time when you don't know if you're going to have a job or not. Eating is the byproduct of you not giving yourself a soft landing place. We don't need to try harder on that. We don't need to like plan our food more. We don't need to do all of that. We need to figure out like, why have I decided that if there's uncertainty in my job, that I am just going to sit back and worry and work myself up into a tizzy, skip meals, push through? Why have I decided that's the best course of action?
Because that's what I've always done.
Okay, it's good to know. And sometimes it probably had a positive payoff.
Sure, in some areas.
Like
But
what?
I was also 50 pounds overweight.
Okay, but did you get to keep your job?
I did.
Did you get to get promoted? Did
Yeah.
you get raises?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you're really worried right now about losing your job, it would make sense that you would go back to what in the past secured your job. Didn't secure your weight, but it secured your job. So we know why you're going back to this because it was your winning strategy back in the day. But if you want to be someone who keeps her weight off, we got to figure out now. How do I win at this without eating, without regaining my weight? And we know that as of right now, your trajectory is if I go back to just killing myself, I might be able to secure my job, but I can't secure this side. So, where's the happy medium?
Yep.
That's why I was asking, like, when it comes to, you know, you have, was, what'd you say, structural change or new owners or something like that?
New leadership. There's change of
Leadership.
ownership, new people coming in, lots of just a lot of shifting in
Yeah.
the
I went, like,
and
back in the day when I was in corporate, we were bought out, I think, two or three times while I was there. And then over the course of my husband's 25-year career as a vice president, they were bought out like over 10 times. They got bought and sold like it was Monopoly. So I get
yeah,
it, because every time a new leadership comes in, he'd come home and he'd be like, well, new leaders. And I'd say, are they going to keep you? He's like, I don't know. Because they almost always got rid of a lot of people.
exactly. And in certain
So,
levels, they want a different, anyway, doesn't matter. There's
what could you do? This is the way, let me just tell you how my husband thought about it. And you tell me how this feels to you, because he never drank and ate his way through any of it. And he survived 10 buyouts when most people didn't. And he was in a department that usually got cut and gutted because he worked for a restaurant company and nobody likes IT. They don't think money should be spent there at all. So he would always go in, and every day his job would, he would sit and he would think, how do I make sure that people know I am invaluable? And it wasn't skipping lunch. Like, when he would make a list, it wouldn't be like, well, I think step one, skip lunch. Step two, never take breaks. Step three, grab ass food at least 7 to 8 times a day. Like, that was not his strategy. But in your mind, that is what you've created without knowing you've created it. So now we have to figure out, to give your brain some certainty, because we're not certain they'll keep you, but we are certain you can present yourself as invaluable, because that's 100% in your control. So how could you do that? Like, just give me one or two things that you're not currently doing that you might could.
So just an example would be right now I have a new vice president and they're asking a lot of things of her or questions about my accounts of her. And the classic example was one day this week, I wrote up the email, I sent it to her, I said, this is the situation, you know, all the things, you know, and she said, this is perfect. Do you want to send it or do you want me to send it out? And I said, feel free to. And I could have taken the ownership of that communication because it was my work. But I was I guess my on it at the end of the day, Corinne, I like living under the radar. And I feel like a lot of things that are going on right now are on the radar. And that being in the limelight is not my forte at all. I want to be under a rock.
Okay.
And right
But
now, there's just a
go ahead.
lot of things going on in my work that I can't live under that rock, and I'm very uncomfortable.
So you
So,
got a
taking
couple of, go ahead.
ownership of my work because it is good work, but taking but just taking the ownership of it and I guess just leaning into the fact that I mean I do know my job, I do know it well, and just having the confidence to not give it to somebody else, I guess, as credit if I'm looking to be invaluable.
Or at least looking to stay.
Yeah.
And this is the thing, it's very comfortable for you to just put your head down, quietly work, not be in the spotlight. But that doesn't help you solve your problem. So that's going to require you to eat. So you get like, I always like to tell myself this when I'm faced with what I would call two difficult decisions. Do I want the hard of displaying my work, making sure that my boss sees me as a total asset to the point that if they're deciding to cut, she'd argue for me because I've made it crystal clear how I can help her. And even if you don't like the spotlight, how I can make her be in the spotlight, but she will know who's doing it. Or do I want the hard of gaining weight, but being able to just work comfortably all day long, skip my meals, grab ass food, and get through my day? Because sometimes we get stuck. What's comfortable is worrying, feeling like we have no control, laying low and eating to compensate for our worries. We don't like the outcome, but in the moment, it sure feels good.
100%.
So if we're going to choose something that's hard for us, I always like to err on the side of choosing something hard that makes me grow emotionally. Like you don't need to like bust up in there like the Kool-Aid man every day with a bullhorn telling everybody how great you are, but looking for opportunities, because my husband's not like that either. Let me tell you what my husband did. He did this for years. He called it the spreadsheet of value. He had an Excel spreadsheet. Every time he worked on anything, he like in one column, it was just like, here's the thing I did. And another column was either how much money it made the company, how much money it saved the company, how much time it saved, or what problem it fixed and for whom. Like, whose life did I make easier? It was just, he called it the spreadsheet of value. And every day, his goal was to make sure something went on his spreadsheet, that he was doing something so valuable that he could track it to where when the company was sold and they were wondering who they should keep, he toted that motherfucker in there all the time. When it was raise time, on the years they didn't give raises, Chris would walk in and he'd be like, I just want to show you how much money I saved the company this year. And I want to show you how much time I saved operations this year. And I just want to show you these things. Like me and my team, this is what we did. Got raises every year, even when nobody else was getting them. Because he's the only person that could ever walk in and not just be like, well, I did a really good job. I mean, I came in every day and, like, or just sat back expecting them. Like, one of the most famous things he ever told me is like, I never expected my bosses to ever know my contributions. My job is to make it easy for my boss to know exactly how I'm contributing. I need to make it easy for them to be like, I don't ever have to think about you. He said, I didn't look for words of affirmation. I didn't look for cheers. I didn't look for rewards. I didn't look for nothing. He said, if my boss didn't have to think about me, I knew I was doing my boss the biggest favor ever.
And that's
And so, like,
exactly how I feel, but I think the value spreadsheet right now, just not only to demonstrate, but I think finding my own evidence
for you,
for me.
yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
And then if you need it, you have it for anybody else.
Well, even
And
if I
then,
have to build that resume or sharpen that resume, I at least have some really good data.
exactly. Because the hardest time to find all that information is when you're put into a tough situation, either. They bring you in and say, we're thinking about laying you off. Tell us why we shouldn't. Because if you don't have your numbers, you're just going to be like, because I've been here a long time and I'm really like, I'm good. Like it's hard for us to defend our position, especially because if you haven't been defending your position to yourself for a long time, how are you supposed to remember your shit? If all you remember is all your fuck ups, you're going to walk in there and you're not even going to be well practiced into what to say.
Well, and what's crazy about it is, like, for my team, I can shout that stuff from the rooftop. You know, I do a great job with their value, but my own value and how much my work value I place on who I am as a person. You know, I feel pretty just unease. I just feel unease right now. And you know,
So
for
the
like the
unease. Go ahead.
So say like the normal work, Michelle, when things aren't shifty, like I've made great progress in the grab ass eating through the day. But once things shift, the shift and the acceleration of like anxiety, it's almost like I regress emotionally during this period and like forget the things that, not all the things, but like the day-to-day stuff that keeps me cool through the day.
That's because it's not weird. It's easy to take care of ourselves when everything's going fine. We have to take care of ourselves on deliberate purpose when they're not. We want it to just be like, I just don't understand. When it's all fine, I do a good job. And when it's not, I don't understand why I don't just keep doing that. Because the way you take care of yourself in a crisis is very different than the way you take care of yourself in, like, perfect weather. Like, that is the thing we have to remember. And so your unease right now is just telling you, I need you to take care of me in different ways. I need to be like reminded of how valuable I am. I need to keep track of that stuff. There's a thousand good reasons to do that. It's not weird at all that everybody, almost everyone, can look at other people and see their value. It's harder to see your own because you're battling on the inside, how your lived experiences. On the inside, you're battling your brain's desire for safety. When we look at other people, we're not clouded with all of that. It's just like when I see all of you, everything y'all tell me is always like, there's such an easy solution to this. Let's just do this. Let's just fix this. We're done. Because I don't sit around being like, well, I don't know. I wonder if this is the one person I'll never be able to help. Well, like, I just don't think about that stuff. Like, I don't look at you and see all your insecurities before I offer you a solution. When I see you, I just see the facts of your life and I'm like, this will solve it. Makes perfect sense to me. So I think that if you will, this is what's crazy. I think if you do spreadsheet of value for real,
For real. No, girl, it's
mainly
happening.
for, yes, like every day, be thinking of like look for all the ways that you're winning in your job and you're doing these things that you can track. One, it's going to help you. But probably when you, right now, what you're seeing through your daily lens is I'm going to lose my job. And you're like scanning your environment for every little thing, like an email, a meeting, or what a side eye, whatever. I didn't get invited to that one thing, whatever it is. Your brain is like, I need to be on the high alert for everything that could be signaling me I could lose my job. Because it's literally just saying, like, girl, I'm going to pay attention to all the wrong things. I don't want you getting caught with your pants down. And so it makes you want to like push through lunch and stuff. Now, if you're giving yourself some on purpose, here's what I'm doing. Here's the value that I offer. Here's all the things. It's probably a lot easier to say, you know what, I can take my lunch now. Because you're seeing a balanced picture. I'm not saying that your job is safe. And you don't need to tell yourself your job is safe, but you can tell yourself, I'm going to do everything I know to ensure my job. Instead of, I'm going to sit back and look for every reason why my job is in danger.
Very helpful.
I swear, I teach that spreadsheet of value more often than you would ever think. It is so great. I can't wait for this call to be over so I can tell Chris, I'm like, talk spreadsheet of value one more time.
Love it. I love it. Yeah. That's well, and I love Excel. So he's a man after my own
There you
heart
go.
there.
Oh
So
my gosh. He does too. And you know what he hates? Google Sheets. It is like a
they're
dirty
the
word.
worst.
I know, like in our company, like if anybody ever, we were working with this other company and they were helping us with some stuff and they wanted to do everything with Google Sheets. And every night I would just laugh at Chris because he would just be like, that's so Mickey Mouse. Rah, rah, rah. I mean, he's such an elitist when it comes to Excel. And I was just like, you
You
will
need the
be
computer.
fine. Like, people like me are okay with Google Sheets. It's all you weirdos that know how to do shit with Excel that get
Numbers,
on your
yeah.
high horse.
Pivot tables, formulas,
Yes.
yes.
I'm
Oh.
like, yesterday I was creating my own little spreadsheet. I was actually using Excel. It took me forever to figure all I wanted was a drop-down box. I even searched through the help. I was like, what is it fucking called? Couldn't figure it out. I finally did, but God, I was like, it just drives me crazy. So, all right, you got your
Thank
marching
you,
order.
dear. Appreciate it.
All right, work
Talk to
more
you
on your
later.
value than you do on trying to just white knuckle your way through not eating, okay?
Yeah, I got it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have got like a rogue hair. I don't know what is going on right here, but it is driving me crazy. I got a haircut this week. It's still about this length, but it's just short enough to where little hairs are flying. It drives me crazy. Stephanie, you're our last one today. And Corinne's going to actually eat some lunch. And then I've got podcasts to record. Ooh. I'll tell you what, I'd rather just sit and talk to y'all all day than record a podcast. I swear to God. Just let me bitch for a moment. All right, Stephanie, what are we working on?
All right, so can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
So I had a binge the other day and I did a discovery worksheet
Okay, good.
and found that I was over dieting and restricting, and part of it was a fear of regain. But then when I decided that I was going to come and get coached on it, I felt a part of me seize up and be like, no, don't do that. And I reflected on it and why I didn't want to. And what I heard was, she's, and I don't know why I'm getting emotional about it, but I heard she's gonna challenge me to do something or think something that is going to make me feel out of control or release control. And I can't afford to do that right now. And I'm afraid to.
Okay, I can't release control right now. It's the most painful thing. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Or just being afraid, afraid to.
What happens if, like, in your mind, what happens if you, let's do this. What do you think you have to release control over that you're afraid to release control over? Let me get that real clear.
I mean, I know that it's, I mean, I don't want to regain, but I also feel like a lot of people, including myself, depend on me, in a lot of ways, and it's going to be a really, busy season that I'm stepping into. So I'm
But
just, I, yeah. I don't.
well, what? But what is the that? Because you said that you're really afraid. I can't release control. She's going to make me release control, and I can't do that. I need to figure out like what is it in your mind that you think, either, and just whichever way it's easier for you to answer. This is the control I want to keep because this is what's going to like somehow keep me safe. This is what I'm afraid that she's going to make me not do anymore. Because that's probably where you think your control is happening.
Probably, I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to maintain my weight in this busy season. And so,
If you don't do what?
if I don't, if I don't like, so I've been tracking because I know we coached a couple of months ago, and so I was, my hunger signals have been off, and so I've been making sure that I'm getting enough to eat, and but then I part of what triggered the binge too was I was under my maintenance range and I don't want to do that. And so I am finding ways to like eat more, but I feel really full and bloated when I eat more. And so being afraid of, like in the past, I when I've eaten more, it's almost triggered like all of my, I just have gained all of my weight back. And so I have a fear of that, of if I'm not restricting, then I'm just going to gain all my weight back.
Okay. So this is actually really good that you said this. I was just reading like some articles on this, and please nobody ask me for the links. I don't save links. I just randomly get into things when I'm sitting around doing what Corinne loves to do, which is go down rabbit holes of why we all emotionally eat. That's what I call fun things to do on a Saturday. And I was reading an article, especially for binge eaters. This is a very, a lot of people have this phenomenon, but it's very prevalent in binge eaters and ironically, sometimes in anorexics too. When you feel full and what you're calling bloated may not be actually as bad as you think, but in your mind, it scares the shit out of you. You equate fullness to weight gain and binging. You may not know yet how to really gauge this is an, like, if we have restricted for a long time, you know, we habitualize body feelings. And if for a long time you restrict and stuff, and that's how you get weight loss, then that feels like when you're not bloated, when your stomach's kind of empty, bordering on hunger a lot and stuff, we can get in our mind that that equates good because it's helping us lose weight, it's doing these things. And then if we binge or we've been overeaters, and anytime we get outside of that window, it's like we go from this is probably what we probably always should have been losing weight at, or at least maintaining, to this is bad. Any sign of fullness, any sign of bloatedness must mean I'm regaining weight. It must mean I'm doing something bad. Does that sound like what's happening in your head at all? Okay. And if it doesn't, say so. So we can really untangle it because if this is kind of what's happening, I know where to go with you. But if this isn't really what's happening for you, I don't want to go down there because it's not going to be helpful to you.
No, it is. It's really helpful. It and then that fullness, I don't, in a way, almost triggers a binge because I don't know why, but it just.
It's because the fullness is equated to being bad.
That makes sense.
And that is why it triggers a binge. Because I want you to think about reasons why we binge. It's no different than reasons why we overeat. If we have a perception like we've done wrong, I'm bad, I just screwed up, and we are hard on ourselves about it, very often we'll continue the eating to just quiet that voice down. Or to, there's a million reasons why we would keep, eating, but it makes a lot of sense. And so for you, it really is, and this is where the hard work is, because to me, the hardest work of all is not only changing how you think, but really questioning what feels so true to you in the moment. It will feel like when you said, she's going to make me release control. I don't want you to release control. I want you to just start noticing that the way that you're defining control is actually what has you eating out of control. The biggest step you're going to need to do is, and let me just ask you rather than giving you what to do. When you're eating your maintenance calories, you get that sense of fullness, right? Okay. If you aren't binging though, so we're going to take out binging and we're just literally eating, this is my maintenance calories. And now I'm going to feel this level of fullness. It probably reads like bloated, which if I eat a meal, I always feel bloated, but that's simply because there's actual food and water in there now. That feels very different than a dry ass belly. That doesn't mean I've gained weight, but I'm going to feel heavier because that's natural. When you are eating your maintenance calories, are you actually gaining weight?
No, I've been maintaining within a 5 pound range.
Okay. One of the things we're going to have to do is create safety around what it feels like to eat and feel the new sensation in your body that you have only equated to if I feel like if I'm eating my maintenance calories and I feel full, and we're going to get to really know what it means. Like you'll say, I feel my belly poke out a little bit. I notice I might burp a little bit, like whatever the physical sensations are. We're going to have to really settle our nerves on, I do not have any evidence that this is bad. What I have is years and years of conditioning that I either restrict or I binge. I'm either good, and that feels like this in my body. Or I'm bad, and it feels like this in my body. So it would make sense that when I'm trying to live in the middle, it's going to feel fuller than this over here, but it's not going to be as full as when I binge. I just haven't gotten to know this part of me that eats, what my body needs to maintain this current weight within a 5 to 10 pound range. I like a 10 pound range. A lot of you like five. A lot of you aren't Jedi masters like I am, where I'm like, 10 pounds is not the end of the world to me. But a lot of y'all, 10 pounds starts the ugly spiral of I'm a fuck up and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, it's a damn good time in a lot of summers, and I gained 10 pounds. And then I'm really good at coming home and just not going on vacation anymore because it ain't summer, living my normal life, and it just etches his little way ass back down. I'm just calm about it. I've trained myself to be calm and not panic. Keyword being trained. It didn't happen organically. So what are you thinking?
That all feels doable and really true. And so what I have, my homework is when I am feeling full, I can be talking to myself about that this is normal and this isn't good or bad. It's neutral and trying to neutralize the thought.
Or at least just saying, I'm learning.
Okay.
I'm just learning what the difference between full and being bad is.
Okay.
I'm learning the difference between fullness and, what I make it mean.
Okay.
Like, tell me why being full is bad.
I don't like how it feels. I do have from all the, history of dieting and binging and restricting, I physically feel like my stomach is puffs out and I have just some GI stuff, and so it physically doesn't feel great. It physically feels bloated and
Well, are you talking fullness in terms of maintenance calories? Or are you talking, I don't like feeling full when I've ate too much? Because there's a big difference there.
No, I'm talking
So,
maintenance
like,
calories.
and you're counting calories, that's what we're doing. Okay, how many maintenance calories are you eating that where it gets you GI distress?
Eat between 1550 and 1600.
How tall are you?
5'4".
1550 to 1600. And that gives you GI distress to where your body's had too much food.
Yeah, it makes me feel bloated.
Like, they're not, like, bloated is different. I ate this Clif Bar and got bloated because I swigged some water with it. I'm going to tell you right now, 1550 to 1600 for somebody who's 5'4 is barely maintenance at best. I would even call that still dieting. Now, I'm not going to make you eat more. That is a personal decision for you. But I have a feeling that what you're experiencing in your body is not GI distress. I think you're feeling what you're supposed to feel when you've had a fucking meal. How do you think you're like when you eat, how many calories do you think like would feel safe to you to eat each day? Because obviously 1550 to 1600, which is like a stick of gum between the difference.
I
Want to know
mean,
what your level of comfort would be to where you would not feel bloated and you would not have GI distress.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's good to know that there's no level of calories that you would not feel like your belly didn't pop out too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want you to really think about that. I literally just gave you permission to tell me how little you'd like to eat to where you wouldn't have these symptoms and you don't have a clue. I think for you, we got to normalize. Like when you say I have GI distress, are we farting? Diarrhea, violent cramp.
Yeah, both. I mean, I have TMI, but I do have some like IBS and things like that. I have celiac, so I have to be gluten free, and I'm sensitive to dairy, and so yeah.
Okay.
So
So I think that's great information that's missing from the puzzle. For you, I don't think this is a calories problem. I think this is a, I have a sensitive dietary tract. And I am going to have some GI distress, especially if you're not eating the things that you need to eat. Like my niece, I mean, God love y'all. She could smell gluten. I remember, I just love my niece. She just fell from this side of the tree. Especially when she was in high school, she would accidentally get gluten. She would bring her own lunch, whatever. And like some friend would swear to God something was gluten free. She'd take a bite. She kept towels in her car because if she got gluten, she would shit her pants. And she always had towels in her car so that if she would know when it was time, and she'd go home and she would just shit herself and go home, wash up, and start again tomorrow. I think there's a difference between maintenance calories and what eating this much does, and being like, I just have a dietary tract. This is not me losing control. This is not me not able to maintain my weight. This is a health thing. Because the answer for you, if this is the case, I don't care if you eat 300 calories a day. It may still trigger dietary distress. So it's just kind of separating that bloatedness that you're feeling is not you being bad. It's not you gaining weight. It's not you somehow, like I'm out of control with my food. Because some of the things you said, like, this is not me releasing control or losing control. Like, this is just my body. Because I think you're going to have to take care of your nutritional and your calorie needs, but you got to take care of your emotional needs around it. When you have all that dietary distress, is it when you're eating, like basically things you should eat? Or is it when you're not things you should eat?
I mean, when I'm eating, when I have all of that cut out, it does limit to, protein, vegetables, fruits.
It limits you to eat like the America or like people all over the world ate for the first, bajillion years on Earth. It's only all of us who feel deprived and restricted, or all of us that came up through the basically in about the 30s, 1930s. From that point on, we all thought, like, yeah, I gotta eat like fresh fruit and vegetables and meat and stuff. It's like,
I mean, it's great. It's I feel much better. I feel good. It's just I mean, I still get I still have bloating and diarrhea a lot. And so it's like, I just, yeah, that's.
It's just kind of like, I think the thing to remember is that with every meal, for every human, comes some bloating. Just remember that piece. Now, some of your bloating is also coming from, unless you eat a certain way, your body reacts in a not great way. But that's not you being bad. Sometimes you just want to eat something. Or even when you're on like a protocol that really is, nurturing your body as best as you possibly can, there's still a degree of, diarrhea, and that can cause some blood. I know, like, whenever I have diarrhea, which is frequent, like, I've had IBS since I was 13 years old.
Thank you for normalizing
Oh my God. Let me tell you how normal I am. And I hated my mother for this, by the way. Mammy knows it. When I started high school, I was in band. The very first week of what we called pre-camp, where we had to, march every day in the hot fucking sun, they made us do jumping jacks. And I was so nervous about, I was a big girl and whatnot. And I was going through a lot of health problems at the time. I shit my pants in front of every kid in that band. And a
Oh,
girl had to
wow.
come up to me, like, I thought I did, but I was hoping that I didn't. And she came up and she said, I just want to let you know your shorts are brown in the back.
Oh,
And
no.
my mother made me go back the next day, and I hated her
Oh.
guts. I'm glad she did, because I ended up like first chair and everything by my senior year. I was a glorious band kid, but I did that like often.
Yeah.
Like, people made fun of me all the time because like I still shit my pants. I was on a walk the other day. Jane and I joke all the time because she almost shit hers the other day in the car. But I'll like be just Marco Poloing her. And I'll be like, oh no, I'm too far away from the house. I'm like, well, I got the black pants on. At least nobody will notice. I mean, I gotta find
Yeah.
a silver lining somewhere. But it is very normal. I think there's a lot of us mad shitters in this group. I don't think that you are by far the only one. But
Thanks for saying that.
yeah, it's common. But I need you, though, to really parse through. I think just for you to feel like you actually do have, I think you're trying to control the wrong thing. I think you're trying to micromanage your like calories and stuff like that to try to prevent binges and all this other stuff instead of normalizing your body.
Okay.
Ways it's going to feel, and that has nothing to do with gaining weight. This is like my gastrointestinal tract.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just think it will take some pressure off of you.
Okay.
I mean, does that help at all? We kind of talked
Yeah.
about everything.
Yeah, no, that's really helpful.
Okay. So just do some careful analysis of your body and just say, sometimes I get triggered, but I just want to get to know what is the difference between me eating out of control and therefore having bloated and gastro, or me eating too much and that means, like I'm going to gain weight, and just this is probably very normal for me. And these are the amount of calories I should be eating, but this is how my body responds. And it doesn't mean I'm gaining weight, but it also doesn't mean that I have to love that I have diarrhea, but I don't have to like conflate it with there is a problem with me and my maintenance. There's a problem with me and my weight because of it. I think if we could separate those out for you, you'll at least get some relief. Okay.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's really helpful because I was part of the not knowing how little I can eat is because I'm like, man, anytime I eat, I get diarrhea and bloating. And so,
Yeah.
but I don't want to keep losing weight. And I need to eat this amount. And then by not wanting to, have the diarrhea and bloating. I was, like eating less, but then I was, losing. And so normalizing the diarrhea and the feeling of, bloating, and that's just my GI tract, and that's my body. And
And it may need to get used to a more volume of food before some of that could settle down. If you have notoriously tried to remove food to fix it, I have a lot of empathy for you. My son has really struggled with, we're going on 2 years now. It'll be 2 years in January. He's lost about 40 pounds. He's had a lot of diarrhea. He's had a lot of vomiting. Not making himself vomit, but something has happened. And it's so funny to watch him because like he has days where he can eat like a typical 23-year-old, boy. Then he has days where he didn't want to eat at all. And he's nauseated, and even thinking about food like is really hard for him. And so we've been working with We've been working with a psychiatrist. We've also been working with a GI doc. We've been working like all angles. And then, he's been getting these. He had norovirus a few weeks ago, and then he had it again this weekend. And I know the first time he definitely had a virus because his mother got it right after that. It was terrible. The second time, I didn't get it, but I'm wondering how much of this was something that's going on for him. And I've just had to be very like with him on, I know you don't want to eat, but we can't keep losing weight. And you're going to need to eat until we figure this out. So we've just been really looking for things that he can eat and keeping that going. But it's not easy. I mean, I know it can't be easy for you. I watch my son so frustrated with it. And he's a very happy, but he tells me all the time, I want to be able to eat like I used to. Like I just want to, not get sick. And I'm like, I feel you. Because I kind of went through it in high school. I had about 2 years where I was up and down in my weight, but I had ulcers. I'd get ulcers and big IBS flare-ups. I'd lose a bunch of weight. And then that would settle in and we would get the ulcers cleaned up. And then I would gain a bunch of weight because I was an emotional eater. And then my stomach would go to hell again. And then I would lose some weight. And like my high school years were really hard for me because of it. So I know it's not easy, but I wish back then I'd had awareness like we have now to be able to separate out, this is my body. This is weight gain. This is what, like, just there's different buckets. I'm binging for these reasons, and I feel bloated and gastro problems for these reasons. And I need to eat this amount of calories. I don't want to lose weight anymore. I may not want to do it. It may be scary to me, but I do know logically this is what I need to do for myself. And just because I get bloated or have diarrhea doesn't mean I'm losing control of food, like, because that's in that separate bucket. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye.
I tell you what, y'all really get to know me, not only my shitting habits, but Logan's too. Like, we're working with his doctor. In fact, we've got a telehealth call this week to go over. He was sick again this weekend. So I'm going to start demanding some different tests because I just don't think it's normal. And Logan's tired of it. And I think he's willing to do whatever it takes. He's so funny, though, because I think about all of us. I asked him yesterday, he slept with me and actually slept on the couch at the end of our bed. Because I just wanted him in the room when I know he's sick. I'm just like, if you'll just be in the room, then I can like help you quick because I don't always hear him upstairs. And I said, I want to make you a tracker. And I want you to track like what you eat, when you eat, how much you eat. I want to track your mood. I want to track your sleep. Like, we're going to get into it. And I said, if you're willing to do it, I think it could be really helpful. And with zero drama, he's like, sure, I'll do it. Like that. And I thought, oh my God, if I could get my women to do that. Nowhere in his mind was he like, oh my God, this is so unfair, or oh my God, I shouldn't have to do that. He was just like, I'd like to solve the problem. And if this is the fastest way to solve the problem, I would be happy to do it. I just want y'all to see, he's not going to judge the way he eats. He's not going to judge all of it. And that's why he's so open to it. He's not sitting there thinking, I don't have time. He's sitting there thinking, I don't want to feel this way anymore, so I just will make some time for that. So I just think that's always important for y'all to see that tracking and doing things, if your brain wants to tell you shitty things about it, don't stop the tracking because it has good consequences. Work on the shitty brain. Allow yourself to track to trigger as much shitty thinking as you possibly can so that you get a lot of reps figuring out how to talk differently about things. If you don't get any reps, guess what? You just keep all your shitty thoughts And you might be able to extinguish shitty thoughts on what you're eating, but if you have shitty thoughts about yourself in regards to how you eat, you have shitty thoughts about yourself in other areas of life in regards to how you mother, how you work, how you friend, how you keep your house, how you do everything. That is why we do this work. Because I really do believe that it, like, when you're losing weight, it is just a mirror of how you're also living your life. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see you next month, maintenancers. Bye.